These three scripture readings are about the Spirit of God speaking, and in the psalm, among many different ways that the Spirit speaks in this psalm is through nature, and then a voice from God, and then the voice of God comes from the people. Praise the Lord, you heavenly beings. Praise His glory and power. Praise the Lord's glorious name. Bow down before the Holy One when He appears. The voice of the Lord is heard on the seas. The glorious God thunders and His voice echoes over the ocean. The voice of the Lord is heard in all its might and majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, even the cedars of Lebanon. He makes the mountains of Lebanon jump like calves, and makes Mount Hermon leap like a young bull. The voice of the Lord makes the lightning flash. His voice makes the deserts shake. He shakes the desert of Kadesh. The Lord's voice shakes the oaks and strips the leaves from the trees, while everyone in His temple shouts, "Glory to God!" The Lord rules over the deep waters. He rules as King forever. The Lord gives strength to His people and blesses them with peace. And this is the beginning of the ministry of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. John the Baptizer appeared in the desert, baptizing and preaching. "Turn away from your sins and be baptized," he told the people, "and God will forgive your sins." Many people from the province of Judea and the city of Jerusalem went out to hear John. They confessed their sins, and he baptized them in the Jordan River. Now John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a belt of leather around his waist, and he ate food, locusts, and wild honey. And he announced to the people, "The one who will come after me is much greater than I am. I am not good enough even to bend down and untie his sandals. I will baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Not long afterward, Jesus came from Nazareth in the province of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As soon as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening, and the Spirit came down upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my own dear Son. I am well pleased with you." And then later on in the life of the early church, Apollos was in Corinth. It was about that time that Paul traveled through the interior of the province and arrived in Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They said, "We have not even heard there was a Holy Spirit." "Well then, what kind of baptism did you receive?" Paul asked. They answered, "The baptism of John." Paul said, "The baptism of John was for those who turned from their sins. And he told the people of Israel to believe in the one who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul placed his hands upon them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in strange tongues and prophesied God's message. There were about 12 men in all. Listen to what the voice of the Holy Spirit is saying to you.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Psalm So it was in a church not unlike this one. There was a group of people gathered around at the front of the church when a gentleman just walked in off the street. And he was not feeling too well. He was kind of living out on the street and living rough. And he walked into the back of the sanctuary and he saw this cluster of people gathered in a circle. And he kind of wondered what that was all about. So he walked a little closer and he realized that they were gathered around kind of a bathtubby kind of thing. And there was somebody standing in it, in the water. And the people around, there was one at a time, they were stepping in and this person in the middle was saying some words and then dipping the people into the water and coming out again. And this guy thought, this is really strange. And so he walked a little closer, and then the next person went down. The same words were said, and he got really, really close, and he was looking, and the guy in the middle of this pond in the church looked over at him and grabbed him by the lapels and pulled him in and dunked him down into the water and pulled him up. And the guy was totally bewildered, sputtering and spewing. Have you seen Jesus? No. Down he went again and up. He's sputtering. And have you seen Jesus? No. Down he went again a third time. Finally, when he came up the third time, the guy said, have you seen Jesus? No, but are you sure he's down there? Baptism. The water of God. I have a friend and spiritual director named Tim Scorer, who he's a man of deep faith and wisdom, and he talks about faith as a trusting in the buoyancy of God. Isn't that an interesting image? You know, when you're floating on your back on a summer's day, kind of try imagine it. It's not quite like that today, but floating on your back, and something startles you, you tense up your body and you start to sink, right? Immediately, as soon as you tense yourself up, you start to sink. But if you relax, if you let the water hold you up, you float and it's relatively effortless, but kind of counterintuitive. The harder you try to make the water hold you up, the faster you sink. But the more you let the water simply be the water beneath you, well, the more it is. Neat image, eh? I've been thinking about water this week as the central image of God and as a central sacrament of God. Do any of you remember your baptism? A few? Yeah. How many don't remember your baptism? Yeah, quite a few. Yeah. I don't. In fact, I haven't even seen a picture of my baptism. Apparently, however, I was baptized. And I guess now that I have children and have experienced family life with more children, I kind of forgive the lack of pictures. Life slowly and steadily inches nice things like pictures out as children come in. Hey? I was the fourth. No pictures. I think it's pretty much the grace of God that I was baptized at all. Actually, come to think of it, baptism is really all about grace, about unearned blessing, about gift. Cherishing that gift, beholding the gift. Behold a life, a child, a person, a human being, vulnerable. And certainly in infant baptism, untouched by life. Most of us who were baptized as children, we don't remember our baptisms. But remembering or not, at a baptism, the community gathers around you and proclaims what God proclaimed over Jesus. This is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Words that every soul longs to hear. And every soul longs to know to be true. The blessing that, when we trust it, holds us up like water. And yet, it is one thing for a parent and a community to declare that blessing, to offer soul-quenching words and really mean it. It's another thing for us to come to the point in our lives where we truly believe it and know that we are blessed and a blessing, that we belong to God, and to take that identity and even responsibility into ourselves. That's a piece of work. That's a lifelong piece of work. All of which brings me to the scriptures for today. The psalm declares God's voice over all creation. A powerful voice, a voice that ultimately is the voice that matters, that makes things happen. It's the same voice that hovered over creation in the beginning, as the story in Genesis tells it. And speaks, "Let there be." And it is. The creative spirit brooding over the creation. The same creative spirit broods over the waters of Jesus' baptism. And the voice is heard again. The association between these two stories is deliberate in the scriptures. And it tells us two things. First of all, that there is something new to happen, something new being created at this baptism. But also that this path that Jesus walked is ultimately connected with the larger path of the whole creation. There's a deep connection between God's blessing on all creation and God's blessing in Jesus. The particular story of Jesus is held or rests upon the water of God's greater story of the blessing of all creation. And, you know, I believe that his baptism, certainly in the eyes of the community which witnessed it, but I dare say also in him, is the key moment in which his life and his ministry is born, and the key moment upon which his life and ministry is born. Held up. And that holding up, that trusting, that faith relationship, trusting the buoyancy of God in that moment and every moment to follow, feeds and strengthens his life. It becomes the power within the life. Years ago, A.J. Gordon, minister, was out for a walk in the country. And in the far distance, he saw a man in front of a farmhouse, you know, one of those old pumps that used to be in front of farmhouses. There was a man pumping steadily, evenly, never looking up, never missing a beat, just pumping and pumping. It was fascinating, and he watched it for a while, and it just kept going and going. Never missed a beat. The Reverend Gordon stood there thinking about the wisdom of such steady, measured effort. Far better, he thought, than rushing and then having to take breaks. And then rushing and then having to take breaks. Just the steadiness of it, eh? Far better than overdoing it. and paying the price. But the more he watched, the more captivated he became and amazed at just how steady and how even this man's pumping was. Never stopped. Didn't even pause, didn't falter, nothing. So he walked a little closer, and the closer he got, the more amazed he was until when he got close enough, the reality of the situation hit him. This wasn't a man at all. This was a painted wooden figure. And the arm was pumping steadily. It was, and so tirelessly, was hinged at the elbow and attached to the pump handle. And the water was gushing forth. Not because of the pumping effort of the wooden figure, but because it was an artesian spring with its own pressure. So the wooden man was not pumping the water at all. The water was pumping the wooden man. And it's that reverse reality that we celebrate today. The gift, the blessing of life and the Spirit, which we do not create, but rather which creates us and moves us. And as we let it hold us up, as we let it flow through us, then animates us, gives us power to create. The Spirit's blessing over Jesus set in motion a creative ministry and life. It became an artesian spring. He became the instrument of the artesian spring of God in the world. Filled him with vital life. And it is that vital Spirit that we celebrate around the font. That's the vital Spirit to which we attach ourselves, associate ourselves every Sunday, that it might flow through us and make us new. You see, our lives are not simply our own. That's the thing. They are born upon the water of God. We don't hold ourselves up. And that water of God is signified at baptism. And as a community, we call each other to trust the buoyancy of God in our lives. Because while we have to remind each other, because it's not easy. It's not easy to trust the buoyancy of God. We have this thing in us, ourselves, that makes us think that we can do it. The community is primarily a cluster of people who have sensed the blessing of God, recognized what happens to us when we try to do it ourselves alone, who have decided to try to trust God to be that spring of life gushing up, and gather around in big groups or little groups to help each other to do exactly that, trust. And that's why the font is here at the front. It's why the font stays here at the front every week. It's why the worship committee decided a little while ago that what we want to do is fill the font every week. We want to pour water in the font so that we remember that we need to trust the buoyancy of God every week. As a reminder of God's blessing and a reminder of our utter dependence on God. Which leads me to a final few words that are not mine, written by William Stafford, who speaks of trusting together with others. As he writes in his poem, Ask Me. Sometime when the river is ice Ask me mistakes I have made. Ask me whether what I have done is my life. Others have come in their slow way into my thoughts, and some have tried to help or to hurt. Ask me what difference their strongest love or hate has made. I will listen to what you say. You and I can turn and look at the silent river and wait. We know the current is there, hidden. And there are comings and goings from miles away that hold the stillness exactly before us. What the river says, that's what I say. Amen.